Northern Ireland is on the brink of a welfare mitigations disaster. That is the latest warning from Advice NI. Let's speak to Kevin Higgins from that organisation. Good morning to you, Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning to you. Experts warning of a looming crisis of child poverty, hunger and mass evictions caused by the end of those mitigations for bedroom tax and that benefit cap. And these measures will end in a few months, so March 2020, a date that some campaigners are describing as a cliff edge.
That's exactly right. And I mean, we've been warning about this for some time, but we're now actually on the brink of this. And as we stand at the moment, all those mitigation measures that were put in place back in 2016, as recommended by Professor Eileen Everson, and the circumstances have not changed. And in many ways, the situation has got worse for people out of work and people in low-paid work. So the need is greater than ever. But unfortunately, these mitigations are due to end March 2020. And the only way that we can be saved from this disaster is if the Secretary of State passes the necessary legislation to extend the mitigations package.
So kick the can down the road, that's the way to sort it out.
Well, I mean, at the time, everybody welcomed this mitigations package, and it has served to save thousands of people from destitution and poverty. But now we face this issue now, and we need to tackle it and we need to get it sorted.
Okay. You mentioned Professor Eileen Everson. She also joins us. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
You were the chair of the Welfare Reform Mitigations Working Group. Why are
Correct.
We getting closer and closer to what is being described as a cliff edge? Does the vacation of an executive instalment, does that have anything to do with this?
Well, I mean, just to provide the background to this, first of all, could I say I'm extremely concerned. I completely support the points that Kevin has just made. I am concerned because what's happened over the last 9 years in Northern Ireland is that we have protected people in Northern Ireland from some of the worst cuts introduced by the Conservative government. Firstly, by refusing to introduce the legislation here. And secondly, when we were forced to introduce the legislation, we put in place a compensatory package. So, yes, people had their benefits cut, but we made supplementary payments to compensate them for that. So we have done, I think, a very good job in Northern Ireland of protecting people. And protecting vulnerable people is not about kicking a can down the road. It is about doing what a decent society should do. Secondly, I'm very exasperated because Kevin has done an awful lot of work in the background on all of this, but we've been told by the department here, nope, they can't do anything. It's got to be done by Westminster. Westminster keeps saying it's a devolved matter, even though we haven't got a devolved government. A couple of months ago, an authoritative report from Westminster MP said, yes, Westminster can and should act. So we're very clear that it is necessary to do something, to put something in place next March so that we don't fall off a cliff edge.
Let's speak as well to some political reaction. The SDLP MLA, Nicola Mallon. Good morning to you, Nicola.
Good morning.
UP MLA, Robbie Butler. Good morning, Robbie.
Good morning.
And Alliance Party MLA, Kelly Armstrong. You're also their welfare spokespeople. Robbie, we'll start with you. You know, we have been here to an extent before. This cliff edge has been predicted, and yet we seem to be gradually getting closer and closer to that point.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And I agree with Professor Everson and also Kevin up to your point. But I think we need to take that responsibility here locally. But, you know, I would agree that, yes, we would like to see that legislative change in Westminster if needed. However, let's be honest about this. We need to be clear. We are elected to represent the people of Northern Ireland, and Northern Ireland has disproportionate poverty in relation to the rest of the UK. And surely, in 2019, that should be the number one political priority. Can I just give you a statement that Les Allenby from the Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission made this week in Stormont that was startling? He said that, you know, it's a 21st century scandal that we haven't ended childhood poverty when it could have been achieved by 2020.
Yeah, he's also said it'll plunge households into a crisis from next April if they're not replaced with an alternative aid.
And here's the reality for all of us political representatives from whichever hue we come from. When you listen to all this expert advice, and in our offices of a day, we have people coming in, and probably 80% of my work is in and around these welfare reforms and the housing crisis. How can we ignore it? How can we ignore it? So whilst I do support, and the Austrian unions do support the calls that the change may be affected by Westminster, it will be a scandal of epic proportions if we do not have a functioning assembly which puts people first.
Alex Maskey from Sinn Féin is also with us. We'll come to you in a second. Nicola Mallon, there will be people going, well, look, we understand this is on the cards for some, but this was voted in by certain members, certain parties in Northern Ireland. They agreed to these coming in. So why now try and turn the tables and go back and say this is not acceptable, something must be done?
Well, yeah, as you say, there was the DUP, Sinn Féin and Alliance that did vote for these cuts, and now we're sitting as the mitigations run out with no assembly to further protect people. But look, we're less than 150 days away from this cliff edge, and it really is time for honesty. So if we aren't going to get the assembly and the executive back, if this stalemate between two of the parties is not going to end, then we have to look to Westminster, because if we are to protect people, then we need legislation. If we don't have an assembly and an executive, then we need to look to Westminster to legislate. Professor Eileen Evison pointed out the Joint Westminster Committee report. It made very clear recommendations about extending the mitigations package. The SDLP wrote to the Secretary of State immediately after that report to say, look, if there is no assembly and executive, the consequences are so devastating that we have to look to you to legislate for us. But what I'm concerned about, Finney, is that I'm really concerned that people, low-income families and the disabled in Northern Ireland might be caught in a game of who blinks first. We have the who blinks first in terms of the DUP and Sinn Féin to get the Assembly and Executive back. But I also fear that the British government might use this very, very difficult issue in a game of who blinks first between them and trying to get the Assembly back up and running. So I really am very, very concerned, and we really need to see urgent action.
Alex Maskey, are you partly to blame for this?
Well, unfortunately, we are in the election, and Nicola can't help herself trying to score political points on the matter. But anyway, at the end of the day, just let me remind people, and we fully support the recommendations from Eileen Evison and what Kevin has articulated there a few minutes ago. Let's bring ourselves back to the point when Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness invited Eileen Evison and her panel of experts to come in and design a team after Martin secured the £585 million for mitigations, but the other parties actually voted against the MAID-OD. So I'm very welcome all of the other parties now coming on board, and I've been working and meeting with the parties recently for some time now. And I'm satisfied that at this point in time they recognise the need to put the party politics behind. Although, as I've said, unfortunately, Nicola can't contain herself this morning. But at the end of the day, the people out there...
Let's let Nicola respond to that.
No, but let me just...
No, well, you put that towards Nicola, so let's let her respond to that. You said it twice, so let's let Nicola respond.
Thank you, Vinny. Vinny, it was actually yourself when you were introducing me. You set out the fact that where the introduction of the welfare cuts came from. I simply responded to that. I'm just simply stating out the facts. And I'm not playing party politics with it whatsoever. I've worked very well with parties. I will continue to do that because we need to be people first.
Okay.
And that's my priority.
Well, okay, Alex.
Well, then let me get back to the point of Megan, because what's important for people out there who rely on these mitigations is that mitigations were put in place, as Eileen and Kevin have said, to have protected as best they possibly could the most vulnerable out there. And it's important that we give confidence to those people that the parties are actually working constructively together instead of trying to be point scoring against each other. So in the end of the day, let's remain ourselves. Peter Robinson and Martin McGuinness appointed and asked, invited, rather, Eileen Evison to design it, a mitigations programme, which she did because her and the other team were experts in the field on like individual political parties. And we fully support Eileen's call, and I think I very much welcome her intervention, because we do need to get this in place. And let's remain ourselves, those cuts come from London. And
so what do you say to people that will point the finger at you, at the DUP and the Alliance Party, and say that your parties are partly responsible for these being introduced in the first place?
Well, our party is responsible for bringing in the mitigations. That's what we're responsible for. The British government imposed the cuts. You heard Eileen Evison repeating that point herself. These cuts were imposed by London. And if the executive was up tomorrow morning, that executive would have to face exactly the same question we did back in 2015, 2016, whether or not we're going to try to support these mitigations and support the most vulnerable and that. So that question will be put on all of the parties' table if and when we get an executive up and running again, which I hope we do. But in the absence of an executive, let's be very clear, these cuts are coming from London. As people have already said, the disproportionate impact on people here is drastic, is draconian. British government have caused the cuts. We got the mitigations. Those mitigations run out next March. Unless the legislation is renewed. So I want the legislation renewed by the British government. That's their policies, their cuts.
Okay, let's Kelly Armstrong from the Alliance Party.
Sorry, could I just intervene here?
Yes.
It's Eileen Evison again.
Yes.
There's no point in having this sort of blame game. The fact of the matter is, our parties refused to introduce the legislation to put the cuts through. That went on for 2, 3, 4 years. What then happened was that the British government was fining us. I think it was £1 million, £2 million a week.
Because we were breaking parity.
Yes, we'll leave that point aside. The fact of the matter is we were forced, our politicians were forced to introduce this legislation, and then to limit the damage, they asked me and others to try and sort out a measure of protection for people. Just to be absolutely clear.
Yes, let me bring in Kelly Armstrong at this point.
12,000 households in Belfast who are currently benefiting from that protection.
Okay.
We need to sort it out.
Kelly Armstrong from the Alliance Party. I'm reading from the Belfast Telegraph a couple of days ago. It's quoting this Northern Ireland Human Rights Commission. Lone parents in Northern Ireland are losing around £2,250 on average a year due to tax and welfare reforms. Again, makes very bitter reading.
It does make very bitter reading, and I'm glad Professor Evanson had brought the point up. We need to work together to get this resolved. I actually had a constituent in my office this week who, when we sat down and worked out what the end of the mitigation payments would mean to him as a single person, he was going to lose a week £50, and it meant then he would have between £25 and maybe £30, depending on how much he spent on heating, to live on. So the 144 days left of these mitigations. We know that the Department of Communities is looking at potentially discretionary housing payments in order to meet some of the causes of the bedroom tax coming in.
Yeah.
But the thing is that we don't have Department of Communities at the moment letting people know what the impact will be. I don't want to scaremonger, but I don't trust the Secretary of State. While we're calling on the Secretary of State and whoever that may be after this election to bring something in to carry on those welfare mitigations so that our people here in Northern Ireland in a unique situation will not be faced with those costs, I don't believe that a Secretary of State will. Because if they bring it in for Northern Ireland, their constituents will be saying, well, what about us? What about us?
There's a table here that's been...
One second, please.
I just want to bring in this table. In terms of Advice NI and this, the stats that have been given, you referred there, Kelly, to bedroom tax, and these are households that will be affected by the introduction of that bedroom tax. Total on this, total households, 32,850. Pick a random constituency. Belfast West, 3,940. North Antrim, 1,660. That's a lot, Eileen Evison, when you read that, and that's just a very small sample I read out there.
Yeah, yes, I mean, it is very, very concerning. But if I could just come back on that last point that was made about the British government won't do X and Y because they'd wonder about their own constituents not getting the same treatment.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is that we got agreement to have a mitigation package on the basis of our special circumstances. Now, we have taken lots of cuts in Northern Ireland, but there were some points where we could say, now, look, the situation is special here because, for example, with regard to the bedroom tax, we have segregated public housing and so on. So the mitigation package wasn't a general measure to assist people. It was a measure introduced taking account of special situations here. And the Select Committee of the House of Commons agreed with that and said, yes, where there are special circumstances, mitigation is appropriate. So we have a wide range of agreement that if our circumstances are appropriate, we should get special treatment.
Can you spell out for us, just to make it real for people that maybe aren't affected, or in fact those that will be, if the mitigations do not continue, what will this mean in real terms?
Well, we're talking about, for example, lone parent. Maybe she's got a total income of £120 and she's taking a cut of say, £50 a month. It actually means you've got to choose between heating and eating and paying your bills.
And actually,
I think it's important.
Just on that point,
yes, Kevin Higgins from the Vice NI.
There have been a very small number of people have actually lost their bedroom tax mitigation money, and hopefully the Northern Ireland Housing Executive have done some research with those people who have lost the mitigation, and arrears have gone through the roof. They've quadrupled. Yeah. People are not able to meet the shortfall when that mitigation payment ends. So the writing is on the wall. We can't say we don't know what's going to happen after March 2020. We know that the people are going to fall into arrears. They're going to fall into scope for evictions and homelessness if something isn't done about this.
We did ask the DUP to come on the programme this morning, but they either weren't available or we're still waiting to hear back to see if they have someone to talk to us. We're on air for another 4 minutes. Alex.
I think I'd like to finish the programme in a sense on the basis that I very much welcome, as I said a few minutes ago, the intervention from Eileen Evison and Kevin Higgins, because they are experts in the field, they're practitioners on a day-to-day basis. We value their information, their knowledge on this issue. And I want to make it very clear that I happen, and other parties speak themselves, that I happen meeting and working with all of the other parties throughout this past year to get agreement on this matter.
Okay.
Because what's important is that the people out there who rely on this money need the parties working together with one voice, calling on the British government to introduce the legislation.
Okay, Robbie Butler from the UUP. What assembly area you live in?
I live in Lagan Valley. So what we're looking at in Lagan Valley is 1,490 houses which will be affected by the single-size criteria. And every day in my office there are people who are unaware that this is looming over them. So this, we are a critical point, and let's not lose the point. But listen, I really want to make one important point, because it was Kieran Donnelly from the Audit Office at the start of this year in January was warning about what was coming ahead, and he talked about unintended consequences, which were the reality of the reforms. Okay, now recently the National Audit Office, they insisted on an investigation there with the DWP with regard to the impact on mental health and death through suicide. Now, I don't want to be alarmist, but the reality is that in poverty, mental health is particularly compounded. In Northern Ireland, we have the poorest rates of poor mental health in the UK and the highest rates of suicide. Poverty affects that. We need to be putting people first, okay? Regardless of elections, which Alex said there, the priority needs to be that we need to be looking after our own people and fixing that, and not relying on London. London is only the second stage of this, and we will go there if we need to. And we have spoken across the party.
Okay.
Alex is quite right. Let's be honest about this. We need to put our people first and deal with it ourselves.
Okay, just because we are tight for time, and I'm aware there's quite a few of you there trying to get a fair amount of airtime. Kelly Armstrong, it's concerning when you hear people say that not everyone is aware this is coming down the road for them. This is what could be on their doorstep in a matter of months.
Well, 144 days to be precise. And what I would say to those people is, we have all talked as parties around the tables. Alex has identified. We've all been there. We know that the problems are there. We would like to get it resolved. The best thing that we can do to get it resolved is to get the talks back and to get round the table and have the assembly back and get this resolved ourselves. That's the cleanest and easiest way to do that.
How realistic is that, Nicola Mallon?
Well, you know, let's be straight up about it. It doesn't look to be very realistic that we're going to have an executive and assembly back anytime before Christmas. But look, this situation is so grave that we have to do whatever is required to protect people. Because if we don't, as Eileen and Kevin have said, and the advice sector is unanimously saying, we're talking about a crisis when it comes to child poverty, hunger and mass evictions.
You'll actually hear more about welfare reform if you listen to On Your Behalf tomorrow morning. They'll be looking at the state of social security as seen through the lens of independent benefit advisors. So that's tomorrow morning on BBC Radio Ulster. Last word to you on this, Eileen Everson, before we finish up the show.
I think it's very important that people in need in Northern Ireland are not held hostage to the broader political situation. I think the onus is on the Secretary of State when we've got the new one to take action immediately. It's not a big deal in terms of legislation. And, of course, Westminster does legislate for Northern Ireland on many matters, including the budget. So action is possible if the politicians just stick together and make a concerned case.
OK. Thank you very much for your time this morning.